Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, August 22nd. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Frankly, folks, I had a miserable day, but I hope you had a very nice one. And since I had such a miserable day, it's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy tonight. No more of this Mr. Nice Guy hour from 9 to 10 Eastern Time, 8 to 9 Central. I'm going to be big and bad here tonight. So if you want to call in and argue with me, be prepared. No more Mr. Nice Guy. But if you want to call in and be nice, that's welcome, too. In any case, we are going to have open phones here tonight after I go through a few items of interest to me. Maybe not to you, but they're of interest to me, so I'm going to go through them. Yeah, it is a strange world, folks. Strange, strange world. I'm going to read you, before we go to the break, something that appeared on the front cover of the New York Times magazine in the Sunday, August 19th issue of the New York Times, an article entitled The Great Separation. Well, it's basically an attack on the Muslims, but here is what it said on the cover of the New York Times to introduce this article. We in the West find it incomprehensible that theological ideas still inflame the minds of men, stirring up messianic passions that can leave societies in ruin. We had assumed that this was no longer possible, that human beings had learned to separate religious questions from political ones, that political theology died in 16th century Europe. We were wrong. It's we who are the fragile exception. And then, of course, the article goes on and on and on and on, as articles in the New York Times magazine are wont to do. A lot of philosophical nonsense you'll find in the pages of that magazine. No surprise, of course, it being the weekly magazine in the Sunday New York Times. But isn't it interesting that the New York Times takes such a high hand? We in the West find it incomprehensible that theological ideas still inflame the minds of men. They're talking about the Muslims, ladies and gentlemen. But don't forget, it is theological ideas that inflame the minds of the Zionists, stirring up messianic passions that can leave societies in ruin. New York Times says we'd assumed this was no longer possible. The human beings had learned to separate religious questions from political ones, that political theology died in 16th century Europe. Well, folks, yes, the New York Times was wrong in making that assumption, because the fact is, the hardline Zionists who write the weekly columns, or the, I should say the daily columns in the New York Times and in the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Times and the Washington Post and Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report and the New Republic and the Weekly Standard, they are inflamed by theological ideas. They are inflamed by the theology of a hellish book known as the Talmud, a book that dictates U.S. foreign policy today. So let's get off this high horse, New York Times, about theological inflammation and messianic passions, because you at the New York Times represent the very worst of it. What hypocrisy, or as our friend Alan Dershowitz at Harvard Law School would say, what chutzpah. All right, folks, we're going to a break. When we come back, some more reflections on some more idiocy. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, the headquarters of American Free Press newspaper. It's a good newspaper, folks. Check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net, published weekly. What you see on the internet is not the entire newspaper. I see people commenting on the internet that American Free Press hasn't commented about this and hasn't commented about that, and then they refer to the American Free Press site. Well, that is not the entire issue of American Free Press. There are some people that actually think there is no world beyond the internet. That's almost as bad as the people that sit around and watch television all day long. You should get your information from lots of sources, ladies and gentlemen. And some of those sources, dare I say, are even mainstream news sources like the New York Times, which publishes idiocy like this business I read to you earlier. You know, it is so funny. The New York Times cries and moans about theological ideas inflaming the minds of men, stirring up messianic passions that can leave society in ruins. Well, of course, they're referring to the Muslims, ladies and gentlemen, but of course we know that our Jewish friends have theological ideas that inflame them. They've stirred up messianic passions that have left societies in ruins. And I would refer to one specific society that has been left in ruins, Palestinian society. The Palestinian people have been occupied and terrorized since even before 1948, when it comes right down to it. And the inflamed minds of those Palestinians have nothing to do with religion, have nothing to do with Islam. It has everything to do with the fact these people have been pushed out of their homes, had their land stolen from them, properties that were in the family for hundreds of years. When I called in Hashem Talawi's show the other day, last Saturday, I pointed out I was aware of one Palestinian man who was driven out of his home in Jerusalem, a home that he cannot return to. And he's a very wealthy man, and he's got five homes all over the world. Villas, a villa in the Mediterranean, all over, folks. And yet he can't return to the one place that he'd like to go, his original home in Jerusalem. I can imagine he's a little bit inflamed, and it has nothing to do with Islam. And then, of course, there's another society that's in ruins. The once vibrant secular state of Iraq. And now here in the Washington Post today, Bush turns up heat on Maliki. The president expresses his disappointment at the lack of political progress in Iraq and says widespread popular frustration could lead Iraqis to replace their government. He says if the government of Iraq doesn't respond to the demands of the people, they will replace the government. Well, the government can't respond to the demands of the people because the American government, acting at the pressure of the Jewish lobby in Washington, acting in turn on behalf of its sponsors in Israel, the American government sent men and women in our U.S. armed forces into Iraq and destroyed that country. They don't have water. They don't have electric power. They don't have heat. Their schools are destroyed. People have been driven out of their homes. How does President Bush, war criminal Bush, expect the people of Iraq to have any kind of government when they don't have any kind of life anymore? You know, they hung Saddam Hussein, but I can think of about 50 American politicians that should have been hung before Saddam Hussein was ever hung. 50. If I thought more carefully about it, folks, I would have said about 532 of them. One good, honest politician that I know about sitting in federal prison right now, former Congressman Jim Traficant. If he ever gets out of jail, they ought to put him in charge of the FBI. You know, the FBI and the Justice Department spent something like $60 million to put him in prison. Can you imagine that, folks? $60 million. Think of what you could do with one. Think of what you could do with $60 or $60,000 or $600,000. Think of what American society could do with $60 million. Probably even a few footbridges could be repaired with $60 million. And so here's the American president who destroyed Iraq, turning up the heat on the guy who runs a puppet government in Iraq, installed by the American government. They can't make them happy. Absolutely amazing. Another interesting phenomenon in the press. This is an ongoing thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Vladimir Putin of Russia has come to power. Vladimir Putin came to power in Russia with the support of the Jewish oligarchs. The big money men, the people who were looting Russia. But as soon as Vladimir Putin got into power, Vladimir Putin turned the tables on them. Now, our friends at the John Birch Society say Vladimir Putin is another communist hiding under the bed, getting ready to jump out and say boo and take over the world and install a world communist police state. Well, that's nonsense. There are a few people who still believe that kind of nonsense from the John Birch Society. And they're welcome to believe it, but it's not true. But in any case, have you noticed the phenomenon in the press today? In the Washington Post, in today's op-ed section, there's a piece by Masha Lipman, a Jewish woman, who is the editor of the Carnegie Moscow Center's Pro et Contra Journal. She writes a monthly column for the Post. She usually attacks Vladimir Putin. But what's interesting is that she, like many other columnists today, have decided on a new tack to attack Vladimir Putin, and that is to blame him for the crimes of the Soviet Union. Now the problem is not they don't want to say Vladimir Putin's not nice enough to the Jews, or they don't want to say Vladimir Putin is putting crooked Jewish billionaire oligarchs in jail, Jewish oligarchs who have dual citizenship in Israel, or are connected to the Mossad and the CIA or Jewish organized crime interests. They don't want to talk about that. So what they are talking about in the mass media today is that, oh, isn't it awful? Vladimir Putin doesn't say enough bad things about Joseph Stalin, and I might add the Soviet Jewish butchers who ran the concentration camps in the Soviet Union. And isn't it interesting that they want to put all the focus on Joseph Stalin when, in fact, he is not the one who initiated the Red Terror? It was Lenin and Trotsky. Stalin later came into power and turned the tables on them. And now perhaps we understand why it's Joseph Stalin who gets the bad publicity. Not that he was a good guy, ladies and gentlemen. But maybe we understand why they all now all of a sudden focus on him and then say, well, Putin doesn't say enough bad things about him. Again, folks, keep an eye on what they're saying in the mass media, because the mass media can tip you off as to what their agenda is by the way they report things and by what they choose to talk about. It's always, always very interesting to watch the mass media, but it's always very interesting for me to see how even American patriots can be misled by the mass media. Now, returning, as we will, as we often do, to one of my favorite subjects, one which many of you are interested in, one which may bore many of you, that is the subject of Palestine and what's going on in there. And, of course, I referenced this earlier. I should say I made reference to my call to Hashem Talawi's program last Saturday. Talked about it last night and, again, referenced it here tonight. And one of the things we talked about is the fact that there are so many Christian Palestinians, and they have been abandoned by their fellow Christians here in the United States. And this is what I find particularly irritating, particularly interesting, and particularly damning. Now, there's a very interesting book entitled On the Road to Armageddon, How Evangelicals Became Israel's Best Friend. It's by Timothy P. Weber. He is a Ph.D. from the University of Chicago Divinity School, and he's president of the Memphis Theological Seminary. Well, his book, I do highly recommend. It's called On the Road to Armageddon, How Evangelicals Became Israel's Best Friend. Now, we are going to a break here, folks, but when we come back, I want to read you some brief, emphasis on the brief, brief excerpts from Dr. Weber's book talking about the attitude of American Christian dispensationalists toward their Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters. Because, as I say, it's very, very revealing, and it just illustrates, again, the chutzpah and the hypocrisy, possibly even the madness of these American Christians who have been roped in, maybe I should say, taken into the noose by their Zionist Jewish masters. And this is one thing we always have to point out, that, we can talk about this term Zionist. There are many, 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 many more Zionists in the United States who are Christians than there are Jews. It's an interesting little point that a lot of people forget about. A lot of people like to use the term Jewish and Zionist interchangeably. A lot of people think that the word Zionist is less harsh than the word Jewish and use that term interchangeably. But, as I say, some of the loudest and proudest Zionists in the United States are so-called Christians. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. We have some callers lined up, and we are going to get around to you callers tonight, so stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, the headquarters of American Free Press, and the Barnes Review. And I understand a few of you called in to get your discount Barnes.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. As promised, I'm going to read some very interesting commentary to you from the book On the Road to Armageddon by Dr. Timothy P. Weber. Very interesting book, but beforehand, I'd just like to make this comment. I was scouring the internet today, and I saw the extraordinary claim that that David Duke and Mark Glenn and, well, me, David Duke, Mark Glenn and myself, among others, are trying to scare American Jews into leaving the United States for Israel, that we're part of the Zionist network, that our purpose in figure this one out. Our purpose in criticizing Israel is to get American Jews to go to Israel. Well, I can't speak for Mark Glenn or David Duke, but I have said repeatedly that I think what we need to do is return Palestine to its rightful owners, the Christians and Muslim people, Christian and Muslim people who lived there for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that we should perhaps airlift the Jews out of Palestine to the Jewish state of Birobidzhan in Western Asia, or perhaps here to the United States and perhaps carve out a Jewish state somewhere in the Southwest. Dr. Mahathir Mohamad suggested a good place for that Jewish state might be in George W. Bush's home state of Texas, a real big sprawling state, I understand. I know some of you Texans might not like that, but you've got a lot of land down there. Maybe some of your old oil land that's not producing anymore. Or maybe some of these big, rich Texas cowboys that fund Israel, I'm told they do. Maybe they'd like to volunteer some of their vast thousands of acres. Or maybe we could carve out a corner of Colorado or Arizona or New Mexico. But that's my view on Zionism. We need to cleanse Palestine of the poison of Zionism that has been the root of so much trouble and find a nice, safe place for the Jewish people in Israel to relocate. So I'm willing to see a portion of the U.S. foreign aid budget applied to that. That's my opinion on the matter, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to rescue the Jews, not to drive them into the sea. Anyway, here's what Dr. Weber writes. He points out that American Christian dispensationalists are very, very close to some 6,000 Messianic Jews in Israel. But, he says, while there are 6,000 Messianic believers in Israel, there are 145,000 Palestinian Christians who never seem to make it on the premillennial list of concerns. The history of Christianity in the Middle East is long and involved, but Palestinian Christians claim a heritage that goes back to apostolic times. These Palestinian Christians see themselves as the living stones that cry out a continuous Christian testimony throughout the centuries, but now face near dissolution due to a massive Christian exodus from the Middle East. He points out that since the Six-Day War of 1967, thousands of Palestinian Christians have fled the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem to seek homes elsewhere. He says, for example, more Palestinian Christians from Ramallah live in Detroit, Michigan, and Jacksonville, Florida, than in Ramallah on the West Bank. Well, now these Palestinian Christians get here to the United States, and the likes of Jared Taylor of American Renaissance are pounding away at these fellow Christians and saying they have no place in America after they've been driven out of Palestine by the Zionist Jews. Well, Dr. Weber asks, why are American dispensationalists so neglectful of their Palestinian Christian brothers and sisters? Isn't that interesting? Talking about the Palestinians, he says, since dispensationalism sees Arabs, or talking about these Christian dispensationalists, since dispensationalism sees Arabs as God's enemies in the end times, it does not find many takers among Palestinian Christians who believe that they are Israel's victims, not vice versa. And if American dispensationalists cannot understand why fellow Christians would align themselves against God's plan for Israel, Palestinian believers are equally confused by dispensationalist preference for Israelis over other Christian believers. He says, why do the pro-Israeli Christian Zionist groups extend more comfort to Russian Jewish emigres than to the Christians? In the end, dispensational prophecy does not leave much room for Palestinian believers, which means that dispensationalists do not have to pay them any mind. Many evangelical tourists to Israel are surprised to discover that there are Palestinian Christians, since they had assumed that all Palestinians are Muslims and the enemies of both Christians and Jews. Ha! The ignorance of so many people. But what is so disturbing is we find this ignorance even among American Christians who have abandoned their fellow Christians in the Middle East, the Palestinian Christians and the Syrian Christians and the Iraqi Christians all throughout the Middle East, folks. They get stomped on. They have more right to Palestine than the Jews, but not in the Christian point of view. Amazing, isn't it? We'll go to the phones when we come back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, president of the World Gentile Congress. We're going to the phones. All right, let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, come on up.
John,
we have Joe in Pennsylvania.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Joe, what's going on?
I wanted to say just a few things, you know. Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you.
John Bolton, of course, I just read, there's a video up at bravenewfilms.org, War with Iran, no kidding, he's the former U.N. ambassador, the pro-Zionist. And I read this really interesting article also about GQ magazine just did a thing on the 50 most powerful people in Washington, and the executive director of AIPAC, Howard Carroll, tied with a few other lobbyists, three other lobbyists in sixth place, and it was based on these conversations with think tankers, congressional aides, and political journalists. So I found that interesting.
Yeah, you know, I saw something about that. I haven't seen that actual article, but I saw a summary of it, and it said that the gentleman from AIPAC tied with someone from, I believe, the National Rifle Association, the American Association of the AARP, what is it, American Association of Retired Persons, and maybe the tobacco company, something like that. And what's interesting is that it just says where the real power is in this country. But I'm glad you brought that up. I had meant to mention that on the program.
Right, and one more thing I found interesting, and I think it's going to be fairly easy to debunk him, is Abe Foxman writing a book about the myth of Jewish power and the power of AIPAC. I just found out he's writing that in response to Mersheimer and Walt, and I just found that hilarious.
That's very, you know, that's so funny, because this is what's interesting. You know, you open up Jewish newspapers, and I mean newspapers published for the Jewish community exclusively, although obviously they're open to everybody. But those newspapers freely and openly speak, really brag about the power of the Jewish lobby in Washington, very openly brag about it. And yet, when anybody else talks about it, people are expected to talk about it in very circumspect terms or pretend that there is no Jewish lobby. So, again, it's it goes to show you that there are certain parameters of debate or discussion on this subject. So that's very, very interesting. I will hate to run out and buy a copy of Abe Foxman's book, but I will probably do it when it comes out. I'm glad you told me about it, Joe.
Well, they've already proven how foolish they are with this whole Armenian genocide thing, and how they're now switching sides every, you know, 2 seconds.
I just heard that today that the Anti-Defamation League has officially announced that they have revisited the Armenian genocide, and they realize that, yes, indeed, it was a genocide. Talk about chutzpah, talk about hypocrisy.
Right. You're
absolutely right.
Well, thank you for taking my call,
Michael. All right, thanks for calling, Joe. Always like to hear from Joe. All right, let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
How you doing tonight?
Good. You just started talking about New York Times and how they were bashing, bashing religion in general. Is that what it
was?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but specifically the Muslims. But yeah, that's the interesting point about it. The New York Times, they always take this high-handed kind of atheist point of view, and yet they don't realize that their favorite foreign nation, Israel, is a theological messianic country, and they can talk about it in this vacuum as though that one thing doesn't exist. It's absolutely amazing. Again, we're talking just utter chutzpah.
Right. Yeah, I think that there is something to that, though. I don't think it was their intention to, but my interpretation is it absolutely, the literal interpretation of the Bible is one of the biggest supporters of Israel.
And exactly.
It's so ironic that these fundamentalist Christian Zionists in this country are one of the main reasons why Israel can so easily manipulate this country. If those same people pursued their own interest, mainly their worship of Jesus, and stop with this nonsense about the Jewish state requisite for the second coming, and opposed the Jewish state, we'd be in a lot better shape. But it's their literal interpretation of the Bible that is really causing us problems.
And you know, I have confessed openly on the air here time and again, and I've I've written about it and talked about it in speeches. It must have taken me at least 10 years at the very least to discover that this dispensationalist interpretation of the Bible was not the mainstream Christian interpretation of the Bible. And then it took me at least 20 years to discover that this dispensationalist interpretation is something that was really only cooked up in the late 1700s and early 1800s, and really didn't even take root in America theologically until the turn of the century, thanks to the financing of the Scofield Bible by the Rothschild-controlled Oxford University Press in London. So, you know, my own ignorance of the past amazes me. So I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that there are so many other people in this country who have so much catching up to do.
Well, I'm not Catholic, but I did go to a Catholic high school in suburban Chicago, and you know, I was you know, every semester we had to take a faith and sacraments or a scripture class, a Bible study class,
mm-hmm.
and the teacher of the class was a great lady, and but I remember her emphasizing how this small sliver of land, Israel, is surrounded by these savage enemies. You know, and all they got is this little sliver of land, and they're, you know, they're surrounded by these enemies, and, you know, basically implying that we should support Israel. This was a liberal Catholic high school, and they encouraged a contextual interpretation of the Bible, not a literal interpretation. So it's even spread to out of the South, out of the evangelical Seventh-day Adventist, you know, the strict Baptist Protestant interpretation, even the liberal Catholic sects that encourage the supporting of Israel. I mean,
oh, absolutely. I mean, even right now, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith has these little programs where they really focus on the Catholic parochial schools. They drag Catholic parochial school teachers over to Israel, and they put them through these Holocaust indoctrination courses, and yeah, that's one of the big projects of these so-called interfaith projects. And like I always say, interfaith in a Jewish interpretation means making non-Jews echo Jewish concerns, and nobody else gets part of the gang.
Yeah,
gets part of the game, I should say.
They're nothing if they're not smart and clever.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said they're nothing if they're not smart and clever.
That's true enough.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call. All right. Let's go to Henry. I think it's Henry. Henry, are you there?
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, how are you doing tonight? Let me ask you, there's a newspaper called The Forward. Do you happen to read that? Or
I read it, I shouldn't say religiously, but I do read it religiously, yes, based in New York.
Oh, okay, because, you know, it's funny, I thought I'd be curious about it, because there's a woman named Jackie Petru who used to have a show, and she reads it, and I'm just wondering, what happened is I heard a commercial that gave a free trial subscription for 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, actually, you can actually access Forward on the Internet at forward.com. It actually has, I think, the entire text of the weekly newspaper on the website, and I recommend it.
I mean, for free?
For free, absolutely, 100% free.
Well, all right, so that's strange. You mean a current issue that comes out this week?
I'm pretty sure about that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure about it. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I guess that's a contradiction. Let me reword that. I am pretty certain that every week they publish the entire text of the newspaper on the website.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Forward.com.
Uh-huh. Well, because they were mentioning Hillary one time, you know, with in The Forward, Jack Otto said that they mentioned, you know, that they were going to push Hillary because Hillary seems to be, I don't know, how should I say it, maybe she was concerned with Israel or whatever, some nonsense.
Yeah, actually, you know, I tell you, I have a little differing opinion on that. I actually remember reading that particular article.
Okay.
A lot of times, you know, what's interesting about Forward is that a lot of times their writing sometimes tends to be wishful thinking, like they will announce that the Catholic Church is about ready to make some gigantic doctrinal change that the Jewish groups want.
Right.
And then the Catholic Church announces a couple weeks later, and I've seen this happen more than once, then a couple weeks later the Catholic Church says, well, no, that isn't exactly what we're going to do. That's not true. And then the news story will be reported in a small story in the New York Times saying that, well, no, the Catholic Church isn't going to change its doctrine. At the same time, Forward often has this tendency to try to put out the idea that, you know, when there's somebody who's a winning candidate or somebody who's pushing forward, no pun intended, they will try to latch on to that person and say, oh, well, you know, they kind of take this attitude like, oh, well, we're part of the winning team. But I can also tell you, as I've said repeatedly on this program, that when Hillary Clinton ran for the Senate for the first time, Forward reported in a front-page story that the leading New York Jewish money men who had always been associated with New York liberal Democratic Senator Charles Schumer were not raising money for Hillary Clinton. They were raising money for Hillary Clinton's Republican Senate opponent, the former congressman from Long Island, whose name Rick Lazio. So again, you know, you can find some very interesting facts in papers like that, information more often than not that will only be repeated later in Time and Newsweek and then inserted into the general news, the general circulation of the news. So Forward.com is an interesting place to go on the Internet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. One thing about a guy, John DeNugent, I think his name is John DeNugent.
Yes, John DeNugent. Mm-hmm.
Because he mentioned about Finland and all that. I found him fascinating. Is there some way I can call him or contact him?
He mentioned what?
No, is there some way? All right. He talked about Finland. He talked about Germany when he was over there. He talked about Europe and stuff.
Right,
Finland.
Yeah. He has been a guest on this show. I'm going to have him on again.
Is there some way I can contact him? Do you have his phone number or some way to offer him?
I'll tell you what. The best thing I could do is suggest that you write John in care of the Barnes Review in Washington, and they will forward the letter on to him. The address at the Barnes Review, if you have a pen and paper handy.
All right, wait, hold on. Let me write the Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S.
Yeah, you can
Barnes
put it, John
Review.
DeNugent, care of TBR.
No, wait. Review.
Okay.
The Barnes Review. All right, put attention to
John DeNugent.
John, J-O-H-N. DeNugent is
right. D-E, capital N-U-G-E-N-T.
Okay, just one G.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and DeNugent, okay.
Okay.
D-U-N-T, all right, I got that.
Okay, P.O. Box.
All right, P.O. Box.
15877.
15877.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, okay, hold on. Washington, D.C., that's mm-hmm. district of criminals. Okay.
Right. And the zip code is 2003.
2003. That's only four numbers.
Well, actually, you're right. It's 20003.
Yeah, okay.
20,000.
All right, okay. All right, P.O. Box 15877, Washington, D.C., 20003.
You got it.
Okay, and just put the Barnes Review. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and that's the best way.
That's the best way to do it.
Okay. How long have you known him?
What's that?
How long have you known him?
God, probably 20 years or more.
Oh, because he's been out of Europe. I thought that's fine. Okay.
Right. All right,
let you go. Nice.
Okay,
talking.
Thanks for your call, Henry. All right, we have Jim in Texas. Jim, what's happening in the state where I'm going to send all the Jews from Palestine?
Mike, I have some places that I think should be the appropriate homeland for our brethren from the Middle East.
Okay.
Number one choice is Death Valley. Number two choice is the Mojave Desert. And number three choice is the extreme tip of northern Maine.
Well, I tell you what, Jim. We have a free and open debate here, and I'll tell you what, I think any of those would be ideal places. I can't disagree with you. The Mojave Desert, I happen to like desert weather, and I've been told that when the Jews went to Palestine, they made the desert bloom. So if they're right here on American soil, and we're putting American money right here onto American soil as foreign aid to the new Zionist state, I remain confident that they can make the Mojave Desert bloom.
They did, and they can, because when they went to Israel and they made the desert bloom, they did it by stealing all the Palestinian water. So if they can steal all the water from Lake Mead, perhaps they can make the desert bloom.
I think, Jim, I tell you what, if I become president, I'm going to put you in charge of the Mojave Desert, and I want you to help them make the desert bloom.
By the way, Mike, I'd like to admonish you a little bit about your opening statement about the New York Times. If you were heretofore always refer to the New York Times as the Jew York Times, you would clarify things for so many people where they could understand exactly what you're talking about, okay?
Well, you know, I tell you, I've often thought maybe an alternative title for the New York Times would be Holocaust News.
No, I think New York Times is much better because it explains it. It's self-explanatory. These are the people that said that Walter Duranty, in his reporting on the Soviet Union when they were starving 20 million people to death, said that Stalin was called kindly old Uncle Joe. Okay? And this is the same people that called Fidel Castro an agrarian reformer.
It's okay. Funny, they have a different outlook there at that newspaper, don't they? Maybe your title is more accurate, Jim. All right, thanks for your call, Jim. Mm-hmm. I want to squeeze one more caller in here tonight before we hang it up. The inimitable Jim from Texas. We'll make him editor of the New York Times.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if you want to get rich, don't write books. It's not a way to get rich. If I were going to try to get rich, I'd become a physicist like our next caller, Bob from Texas. Bob, come on up.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm not rich, Mike.
Oh, well, you can probably make an atomic bomb, and I can't.
I wish I could. I'm trying to figure it out.
All right.
I came in a little bit late today, and did you say that ADL reversed their stance on the Armenian Holocaust issue?
Yeah, they issued a statement. Dave Foxman and company issued a statement saying that they revisited those events, and they have decided that they do agree with the late, I believe, Henry Morgenthau, who was ambassador, I believe, to Turkey during that period, and they have decided that, well, it was genocide.
That's what I thought you said, but I'd like to bring up my little point anyway real
quick.
Go
ahead.
I'm looking at a letter that the National ADL office, a quote from that letter, wrote to the Watertown Math office when this problem arose.
Okay.
And I just want to quote what it, just tell you this last little part here. But the letter also makes clear that the National ADL feels the safety of Israel, which considers Turkey a rare Muslim ally, is paramount. Okay?
Okay.
Now here's my point. I would call that bias. I would say that statement was made by Mr. Foxman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call that bias of the ADL towards Israel. Okay?
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's a statement of bias. Now, ADL likes to promote this legislation that has the header of hate on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read it, it always talks about bias crimes. You know?
That's right.
A person has a bias. Well, my little pet peeve is bias is not equivalent to hate, okay?
That's correct. You're right about that.
And so for them to make that legislation with the title of hate legislation and then refer to bias is wrong, and it shouldn't be approvable because you'd have to prove that bias and hate are equal. And this statement that I have saved from Mr. Foxton is a clear statement of bias on the behalf of ADL towards Israel.
That's right.
So I guess we're supposed to assume that, you see what my point is.
Well, I would summarize it by saying this, that basically what the ADL is saying is its bias is okay, but nobody else's bias is.
Well, you said something yesterday about, I can't remember exactly, but they should be registering as an agent of a foreign country.
That's right,
well,
but they don't.
Well, that statement right there
a court of law, I'll tell you what, in an unbiased court of law, that would be called evidence, and it's evidence that they are guilty of acting as a lobby for a foreign country. And since they are not registered as a lobby of foreign country, since they're not registered, that means they are in violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, and therefore in violation of U.S. law, and therefore should be prosecuted. But they're not.
Well, I don't know why not.
Oh, well, I do.
Okay. See you, Mike.
All right, Bob. Listen, get to work on that nuclear weapon, because when I become president, we might need to use it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a good evening. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to the Republic Broadcasting Network, John and Sandra, and all the good folks down there for making this hour possible. We'll see you here tomorrow night. It's true.